Okay, we are going to look at Genesis, and then looking at how to understand this whole idea of faith in Abraham and how it all began. And don't take for granted that faith is a straightforward thing. It really, really isn't. The challenge is to understand the, and the elements of this thing we call faith and all the things which are there, and they can be quite complex. So we got to press on and figure out what is the state of our own faith, as it were. Okay, well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the challenge to read your word with greater meaning. We pray that you will encourage us and strengthen us. And bless, Father, as we read your word, open our understanding, help us to discover our own faith and then see how we can develop it further. We pray for your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, thank you. Yeah, appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, well, let's turn to the book of Genesis a little bit, right? And we take a look at Genesis chapter 12. And we'll see how Abraham began to learn about this. Okay, we were talking about the background of Abraham, Abram last week. And so the Lord said to Abram, right? So the words are, get out of your country, family, father's house, to a land that I will show you. Okay? And then that is your promise of blessing. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, make your name great. You shall be a blessing. And so those things are there. And that's really, really exciting to see. So we read in verse 4, so Abram departed. And this is important for us to look at. And he was 75 years old when he departed, as the Lord had spoken to him. Now, sometimes we will need to look into this thing, what it is, very, very important. Okay? So, 12, 1 to 3, this the Lord had said to him. In other words, this was a word that was given to him. The question is, what is that word given? Now, starting tomorrow, we will have a special series of things called, this is the book. So it's going to be a weekly thing for a while. It's called My Song in the Night. Okay, I'm going to encourage you to read alongside here. The first week or so, I will be introducing the idea of why the Word of God is so important. Right? So this is going to be the same. This is the same thing. And the Lord word came to Abram. So we have to look in, take the trouble, take the time to ask, what is the Lord saying to us? That is important first. How does God speak to us? And you never know how he will bring a word to us one way or the other. So this is it. Now we will be literally giving out, we ordered some Bibles. This is one of the copies. So this is the Bible that we are, it's called Super Giant Print. So you cannot say, I cannot read because it's too small. This one is super giant. No need specs also can. So you understand this and it will be given to you free. Right? So sign up. And we will give them to you one way or the other. So if not tomorrow, we only got slightly more than 20 to give out. We can't give out to everybody just yet. So far, we have 130 signing up. And we are happy to get Bibles for everybody. So this is important for us. Right? So my challenge to my Sunday school class this morning was to plan to reach out to all the newcomers. So the number of people who came today, this morning, was about over 60 people. Right? So we're going to reach out to everybody. It's going to be quite a substantial number of people that we're going to try to plan this, work it out. But first, we start reading the Bible. Rather than have breakfast. This is not breakfast, no. But it is really geared towards helping people along the way. You see, you never know how it is. Now, sometimes people end up saying, I keep on hearing a voice in my head. And sometimes this is very destructive. Sometimes it's very negative. Sometimes it is suicidal. And this voices in the head thing, please be very careful. You end up with, it could be your feelings speaking to you. It could be your discouragement speaking to you. Right? So once it is going south, once it tends to be negative like that, be careful. Be sure this is not from the Lord. But why I want to say this to you is because if you don't guard yourself very carefully, the danger is very, very real. Today I met up with two doctors who were this morning, and one was working, both of them working for the government, so government clinics. Right? All of them are the old geriatric type patients. And all of them, one of them said, Pastor, I got children. They don't care about me. Even if I'm in hospital, they will visit, but just sit there. They don't talk to me. I am so depressed. And he can come. One. Another one is, I saw 5 new patients this weekend. This is just yesterday. 3 out of 5. Living alone, nobody cares. And the depression starts. So when we see that the Lord had said to Abram, we don't know how God spoke to him. But very often, most of us are familiar with the idea, if it is negative or it is positive. If it is mostly negative, it can be very, very, very painful. I think that's important. So sometimes it can be very, very, very difficult. There's a very famous writer, really from a famous university professor. His name is called C.S. Lewis. That not very many people can read his writing because he writes in quite hard English. His very famous is the Narnia series for children. But he said, never write for children. The children enjoy the stories, but not. He doesn't write for children. And he was, as it were, confirmed bachelor. And then one day he met a lady. And he was going to propose to her. And he was already 58 years old. So went to speak to her, and you're going to get married. Now, just before they got married, she told him, I've just been told by my doctor I have terminal cancer. Cancer of the bones. Terminal. He just wanted to call it off. But he loved her. And so she said to him, The degree of your pain is the measure of your love after I die. And so he married her. 3 years, she died. And in the next 3 years, he grieved for the next 3 years. He grieved in his life. He grieved in the morning. He grieved in the evening. He literally grieved to death. He lived 3 more years, and that's it. His life was gone. Unfortunately, he died at a time when John F. Kennedy was assassinated on the same day. So there was very little coverage about his death. But I still remember reading about his death. It was a day when John F. Kennedy died. And it was kind of sad, because here was a brilliant person, right? You know, it's amazing how his memory was phenomenal. See, he's one of those few people who help people do their doctoral dissertation. So he's a supervisor of people doing a PhD. Now, interesting. He doesn't have his PhD himself. Right? So there he is. He's supervising people. Now, what happened is that sometimes people will come back to him and said to him, "Oh, so I remember your thesis." 5 years later. And he can even cite the chapter for him that he read particularly. Phenomenal memory. Very astute, sharp mind. When it came to grief, he couldn't fight it, unfortunately. Much of what C.S. Lewis wrote is not born out of experience. It's born out of thinking. But when he came to his own personal experience of his wife's short marriage, and then she died, it was very hard for him to cope with the very grief that he talked about in his books. It's really quite different. You know, I want to say this to you because as you grow older, you see, we all live for our children. Question, will the children live for you? Don't hold your breath, because they won't. They will do whatever they need to do. That's it. They have their own life to live. They have their own family to look after. And as you grow older, you begin to realize. There's one person said to me, "Pastor, people say it's so good to grow, the blessing of being old." Tell me, where's the blessing? What's so great about being old? You're sick. You constantly fight with illness. And this is sad. During the week, I had to visit somebody who was in hospital, very depressed because he was so sick. See, you can be a very important person when you're working and when you are alive. When you are old, you step out of work. Believe me, nobody will remember you at any time, in any way. That's a sad reality. So the question is, how do we live? How do we cope? This is something I want to share with you. So this whole series is to help you learn how to cope with old age. And all of us need to learn how to cope with old age. I think this is important for us. How does this work? And I want to share with you some of those things that will come along the way. Okay? So we look at Genesis chapter 12 first. What is that word that came along to us? We don't really know exactly. How did God speak to Abraham? We really don't know. Right? But it could be a word in his head. I don't really think that is an audible voice. But how did it work? The point of it all is we're looking at he was 75 years old when he departed. See, many of us, after we have reached, see, now we have got pioneer generation, some of us belong to the Merdeka generation, at least there is a generation named after us. Right? So, are you pioneer? No. Now at least we can say Merdeka. And we can say what it is. Otherwise, it's going to be just because you miss it by a few months, and then you are not pioneer. So it's kind of unfortunate. I miss it by about 3 months. So you get the pioneer people get something, and then as you miss it by a lot. Wow. I mean, you just feel. But anyway, what do you actually miss along the way? Well, there's a cue you miss. Then there is a little bit of more discount you miss. Then, and so on and so forth. Well, we all understand that. But it's terrible to grow old. Now, let's face it. As you see, when we are young, we don't know how to understand the pains of old age. We work very hard. We save a lot of money. Then we sort of retire. And then we think, I will now live comfortably. Not true. You live with money, but not comfortably. And that's what happens. See, we don't realize we build up everything, but we don't build up faith. That's our problem. So later on, when we need to build up faith, it's not built up, you can't depend upon it. So how much resources you have in the bank of faith. So let's say we think of faith as a bank. How much is inside? Right? So we think of every promise as something that you put in the bank. This is the bank of faith. Can we even find one verse inside the bank? One promise, nothing. Then we go into the bank, and there's one little bit called grace, salvation. That's it. Nothing else. And we go down there, and there's nothing very much to draw on, unfortunately. Where is the joy part of it? Not there. The strength part of it? Not there. The hope part of it? Not there. Right? So you can't even go to the bank. Wow, I drew some joy today. I drew some hope today. I drew some strength today. I drew some encouragement today. I drew some comfort today. What happens if you've got nothing to come back out? Nothing to draw on? That is the problem. So think in terms of a bank and going to the bank. Can I draw from the bank? We can't. And so Abram began to draw. Now, I would say this is important. It's very, very important. Everything you do, every experience you have, every memory you create becomes something you can draw on. That's why it's terrible to have dementia, because it becomes blocked out. You see, when our life, as we look at our life, you've got to understand what this life is all about. Okay, this is important. When we have our life, we build memories. We have children or grandchildren or experience or whatever you're looking at, not money. It's just spending. It's just survival. But if this is blank, you go down there and it's all blank. And that is a sad reality. Sometimes you go to to a restaurant, and sometimes you see a person eating there all by herself or himself. And there's nothing there. There is nothing. What do you end up doing? play games. Angry Bird. And then there's nothing there or something blocks here. I see them all the time, even in the lift. Tong, 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 tong. And then, you know, what are you doing? They, at least it's a world they, into which they retreat. Don't think about it. They don't care, and they go, nobody. Time will just go. It's really, really kind of sad. Because there's nothing there. Right? And this is something that you need to know. So at least in his whole life, he has a new experience. God is telling him to do something and he is obeying. So there is a relationship he can fall back on. There is a memory he's building. There is an adventure that he can think about and he can speak about it. Otherwise, it's just going to be one flat blank. And there's no channel. Nothing there. Fuzzy. All snow. There's interruption. There's cut off. What do you have? It's a TV set. There's nothing there. It's not connected. Yeah, I hope you understand this. I mean, this is something that is unnecessary. You see, so when God said to him, listen, I am going to tell you, I am going to give you, I bring you to a land that I will show you. You see, there is something to look forward to. There is hope. There is a future. Something to look forward to. Otherwise, there is nothing to look forward to at all. Now, this is absolutely important. Okay, so I need you to turn to the book of Hebrews a little bit. Okay, and so he wouldn't have to learn lessons or not. Page, flip the page. Right, flip the page and we'll see this whole idea that we are looking at. And so he began to travel. And we read about how the Lord appeared to, now there we go. This is the idea. So first there was a word. The next part of it is an appearance. In other words, somewhere there is a manifestation. Verse 7. Right? But you will have to ask yourself, how do we see this? Now look at Hebrews chapter 11. And let's take a look at how this will work out. Chapter 11. And then we take a look at verse 8 downwards. Okay, so this is where we learn bit by bit. So by faith, being called, Abraham, being called by God, obeyed. Now, if you can learn how to develop this thing here. So this is God. This is Abraham. What is the connection? This connection is called faith. It's just like internet, you know. How does it work? You switch on, how come you can go there? How can I go to Zimbabwe? How can I go to Australia? All by the click of the internet. And you click F button called faith. And click here. You click here called heaven. Don't click hell, just click heaven. And you know, faith helps us see the reality of all these things. Now, it's absolutely important for us to understand this whole idea of what this faith is all about. So 11:8 tells us, how does it work? By faith. The key word is the idea of I need to learn how to apply this faith. The word is by faith. Right? Do I believe in God? How do I believe in God? By faith. How do I believe in heaven? By faith. How do I believe in the promises of God? By faith. How do I walk with God? By faith. Now, this is something that we need to look at very, very. If we can apply things by faith, it will help us a great, great deal. All right? Let's say we read Hebrews 11 and next part of it. And he said to go forth. Okay? And then we read the next part of it. And he went, but he did not understand where he is actually going. Now, that is a real challenge. When you are driving to a place and you don't know where the place is, what is the most important thing to do? Make sure you have a full petrol tank. Because you only have $1 of petrol tank left. You are going not to go very from here to Serangoon Garden, maybe. But if the place is in Jurong, you're going to push your car all the way to Jurong and you're not going to make it. Right? So when you go to the empty, when you go to the tank, next time you go and pump petrol in your car and you see there F, then you understand F does not stand for full, it stands for faith. Ah, now I have got a full tank of faith. And this full tank of faith will lead me from here, earth, all the way to heaven. Right? So how much of my faith is utilized? Yeah. Oh, I still got plenty of faith left. Right? All the way is going to stretch me all the way. So I walk. I don't know where heaven is. I don't know where I'm going. But by faith, I'm going there. Isn't that wonderful to be able to think of faith that way? Do I know exactly where heaven is? I don't know. Do I need to know? Not really. I am going to walk by faith anyway. You see, this is what we're talking about when we talk about faith here in Hebrews 11. Right? So, how do you know God called you? By faith, you know. Can you describe God? No. What is He like? I can't tell you. Is it real? Yes. See, that is the problem and also the blessing of what real faith is. It's just like people who know how to cook. And they say, yeah, just... And it comes out nice. And those of us don't know how to cook, we must measure this. It still comes out wrong. You follow everything, and still, what's wrong? Eh? How come my fish gets stuck in a frying pan? It's a fish, all the skin on the frying pan. Because you don't know how to do it. But when you go to, wow, perfect. How come? You don't know. How do you know what it is? It's this thing called skill. What is skill? Invisible. It's there. Because this is the master and this is the non-master. There we go. That's what faith is all about. You can't see it, but you know it's there. That's what it is. Right? So you take a look at how did he know who God was? Describe him. Come. Is he real to you, Abraham? Yes. How real? Enough to leave Ur of Chaldee. Enough to leave Haran. I'm going to a land. What kind of land? I don't know. How do you know? I know. See, that's the problem with faith. If you are trying to describe it in terms of what you can see, that's why Paul said, if faith is what you can, you don't need faith. Faith is when you can't see it and you know it is there anyway. You can't see the cold air. What's the taste of cold air? Can't. It was a feel of cold air. How do you know it's cold air? It looks, how come you get, But it's there. That is what kind of thing we need to grapple with, that kind of faith. You know it because you have it. You understand it because you use it. Is it very clear and certain? Absolutely. What is it all about? We don't know. We can't tell it, but it's real anyway. I mean, this is absolutely important for us to consider. Can we speak about this kind of faith? Yes. Right? So this is, as we look at Abraham, you begin to realize that this is the Abraham of faith that we need to really, really appreciate. Now let's take a look, go further. 11:9. Right? So Hebrews 11:9. Let's take a look at this. By faith, right? He dwelt in that land. By faith. He dwelt in the land. And this is interesting. Of promise. What is this land of promise? As in a foreign land. Dwelling in tents in the land of promise. Then we read, he waited for the foundations of a city. Now that is interesting to see. Now that is a really, really complex thought. Let's look at what it means. Okay, look at this. It's absolutely important for us to look 11:10. Right? He waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, that is an interesting. In other words, we are looking at two different planes of thought. Okay? We know what planes are. It's just a place where you place things. Okay? So first, there is the earthly plane. The plane here is, I don't mean SQ, okay? Yeah, I mean, this is the plane called earth. The level. Now, that we all understand. Okay, so we are on this earth too, on the same plane. So we dwell here, wherever we may dwell. Right? So Abram came out of Ur, of Chaldee, of Haran, to own to the, this is called the promised land. How do we actually apply this? Same. This is the non-promised land. Ur of Chaldee. This is like us. We live on this earth here, wherever we are. That God calls us to a promised land. Right? So it's a different plane of thought. So yes, I am living on this earth. But no, I'm not living only on this earth. Now, this is a bit complex. What is in my heart and mind? I am living constantly, not here. I am living here. I am looking for a city. I am only a stranger on this earth. Where is my passport, my citizenship? Here. How do we live like this? By faith. Now, this is a very, very challenging way to live. Does it matter where we live? Frankly, no. If I live for things eternal, if I live with heaven in view, if I live with all these things in mind, it really doesn't matter where I live, does it? That is Abraham's kind of faith. To me, that is absolutely astonishing. And how do we have such a faith? You see, this begins here. Right? So what does it really matter Whether we live in an HDB, live in an EC, live in a condominium, live on landed property, live on 70, 99 years, and then losing it later on, the VERS and HIP and whatever else, does it really, really matter? 20 years from today, 70 years today, I won't be here. Who knows what life will be here? We have no idea. If there is a bomb that goes off, atomic bomb that goes anywhere in South or North Korea, and it hits us, we are all dead. The bomb that took 100,000 lives, Nagasaki, Hiroshima, compared to the bombs we have today, that is a hand grenade. We have enough bombs to destroy the world 15 times over today, stockpile. They were saying if there's a war in America right now, and nuclear bombs are hurled there, in 8 days' time, the cloud of toxic thing will go to Australia and kill a lot of people. 8 days later. That's what we are looking at. Fukushima, the thing that went off. 8 days later, it floated all the way to California. And it was radioactive wood, debris cable. So we don't really, see the most important thing is what we are living for. Don't live for this world. Don't live for children. Don't live for grandchildren. It doesn't mean you don't care for them. Love them, care for them, but don't live for them. Live for God. It will make all the difference in the world. Don't live which district. It doesn't matter which district you live in. The district is district heaven. That is Abraham's kind of faith. It doesn't really matter. If only we can understand what this is faith all about. This is what faith is all about. You see, we are still living very much by our thoughts, our heart, our mind are very much on this earth. That's why when things happen to us, it just affects us so badly. You know, when we lose money, it affects us. When we lose our health, it affects us. When we lose a lot of things in life, everything affects us. It doesn't have to. Now, this is where I need to build this faith of mine up quite a bit. Question is how to build this faith. Okay, now this is very important. So my faith has to be real to me first. Is God real to me? Is heaven real to me? Is faith real to me? If it is not, then my life on this earth will become very, very miserable and more so with every passing year. And that's what it is. I think we all understand it because we live on such a human level. It's real only to us in theory, but it's not real to us in fact. Because what is real to us is what we can hear, what we can see, what we can feel, what we can touch, what we can taste. That is our problem about real faith. And so we have to ask ourselves, can I get out of this? How can I make God more real? And then can I now live for the Lord instead? Can I really, really live for the Lord as I should? This is Abraham. Now imagine, God says, Abraham, I will give you the whole land of Canaan. And yet he lived in tents. He's not building castles. Why? Because his heart is not there. It's not Haran. It's not Canaan. It's heaven. You see, most of us, when we think of heaven, we feel very sad. When we feel very sad, I will leave, I will miss my grandchildren, I will miss my great-grandchildren, I will miss the, I'll miss satay, I'll miss kambing soup. Why are all these things important to us? I mean, seriously, instead of wizard thing in heaven, I don't know anybody in heaven. See, that's our problem. We don't know anybody in heaven. I'm looking forward to seeing Elijah, Moses. I want to see what, want to see Paul. I want to tell him thank you for writing the way you did. I want to meet up with Peter. I've got a whole list of people I want to see, you know. A long list. Every name that I have found in the Bible, I want to see. I really want to see. I don't think I will see Hitler there. I don't think I will see Stalin or Lenin or Mao Zedong or anybody else. I really don't think I will see them there. But I will be seeing the best person of all, the one who gave his life for me. You know what? I look forward to seeing him. And when you look forward to seeing the Lord who gave his life for us, and that becomes real to us, the things on this earth will not matter to us as much as we think. Sometimes we read Genesis 12 and we think that Abraham has got a better life. That life is better than Ur of Chaldee, right? So he left Ur of Chaldee. From Chaldee, remember, a Babylonian. From Haran, okay? And now he's going to Canaan. That's what many people, this is the promised land. Not correct totally. He was going to heaven. This is only here, representative of here, not here. You see, a lot of us, okay, God will give you a better life. And he will. And our better life is here on earth. No. The better life is here in heaven. This is only a glimpse of this life there. Has God blessed me? Yes. What am I looking for? Not the physical blessing. This is a foreshadowing of the real blessing up there, not here. Sometimes we miss the point. So we accumulate treasures here. No. We should be accumulating treasure there. You see, so sometimes we miss the point. We think in terms of a life of God, the Lord's blessing, the Lord's blessing, the Lord's blessing. And we keep on thinking we are now at a higher plane of blessing, a higher plane of life. We actually miss the point. This is the plane of life we should be on, not this earthly life. That is where real faith comes in. Do you understand the Genesis story now? In the light of Hebrews 11? Don't worry too much about this life on earth. It really doesn't matter whether you have children or no children and how many there are. It's not. In the early days, Susanna Wesley bore 19 children. What? 9 of them died. Every year she would bear a child, 19 years, and she was sickly most of the time. Unfortunately, only 10 survived. And only the boys actually did well. None of the girls did. It was a sad reality. Many of them died childbirth. One time we had a maid to look after, was so tired, the maid fell on the baby and died. Some of the children, even the daughters, the baby, only a few months, died. Death was a common thing. What's the way to live? That I want to encourage you. Okay? So when this is our life here, is compared to life called Haran. This is our life on this earth. So God calls us to his kingdom, and we have a glimpse of a better life. But remember, this glimpse of a better life on earth is like the promised land. There is another land. That is heaven. And that is what Abraham was able to live. So Haran would be before we came to faith in the Lord. Now he has faith in the Lord. We are in the kingdom of God on this earth. But this is actually a foreshadowing of a real kingdom in heaven. If I can live on this understanding of a plane of faith, then I will understand Abraham's life and its meaning far better. That is the meaning of Genesis 12. Right? So at the end of it all, no matter how we live, no matter how much money we have, you can't take it along with you. Right? So one day a man said to the wife, okay, I want you to pack 2 suitcases. Make sure that it is all my gold will be take out my money, put it in the gold with me. Put it upstairs. I am going to, and it's going to go with me. Gold is a currency of heaven. Then he died, and the gold was still left behind. And she was thinking to her, maybe I should have left it below, at the basement. Maybe he's going to the other place, and he needs it more now. Why do we think that it's going to be there? Unfortunately, see, we live on this earth, so we look for a life of blessing, and we think this life of blessing is what we should have. We miss the point. Real faith takes us from this life of Haran to the promised land, a glimpse of a better life, which is a glimpse of here, heaven. There is faith. What am I living for? And you know, nothing affects my hope in heaven. Nothing affects all the things. Why should I bother if I have this or don't have that, don't have the other thing? So what? Does it matter if I don't drive a Mercedes or I don't drive a Rolls Royce? Does it matter? No. Why? What does it matter? Right? I mean, seriously. I had a friend, he was a former hippie in the early days, 60s, hippie. But he was, he got out of the hippie age where he started as a salesman. He did very well. He owned the company. Then he realized as the company grew very big, it became international. He couldn't run the company because he's a salesman. So he hired a person as a CEO for his company, but he's the owner. So he's a CEO who runs the thing. If he's CEO, he can't run the company. He's going down. So he hired a CEO, and then he owned it. He still works as a salesman. Isn't that strange? So he's a salesman owner. He reports to the CEO, whom he pays. He drives to his working place in America in a Rolls Royce, which is unusual. That's not a British, not American car. So he purposely brought that to rent. Oh, I saw his car there. But where is he now? The company went belly up, gone. See, you don't know how things can go. So hippie to salesman to owner big time. Right? To owning Rolls Royce, not Mercedes, Rolls Royce, to nothing. Can it happen? See, that's the whole problem with life on this earth. That's why the challenge is to find, let us get out of this earth of sin, life of sin, into a life of faith, trusting the Lord, We do have a glimpse of a better life, but this is only a glimpse, a shadow of the reality which is here. That is the meaning of Abraham's life. I hope this illustrates for you the reality. That's what we all are living for, not the things of this earth. Really, not the things of this earth. You can lose children, you don't know. You can lose your wealth. You can lose your health. But you, if you want this faith, you will never lose your life in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've always kept it. You see, the problem is that we're so caught up with this earthly life, we can't let go. Anything happened to this earthly life, we're sunk. It doesn't matter. It's the good that we do with the funds that we have. That is the point of it all. Right? I mean, this is very, very important. So sometimes when I... So this year, we're not able to go into India, at least for a moment. I will look at rearranging time in ministry there in India in a different way next year, thinking and praying how to do it. Normally, we're there in October, we go down there, celebrate anniversary at Kirubai, 15 years. And we're supposed to go there. And they told me, Pastor, this year, we can't afford to celebrate anniversary. And I said, why not? He says, there's been a big famine hit our place. And a lot of our people don't have funds to pay for the anniversary dinner. I said, just do it. I will give you the funds for that. It's my joy to do that. See, they can't even afford it. See, don't look at here. Of course, we are out of this world. We're into here. But don't look here. Look beyond. See, the problem is we can't see beyond. Our faith does not enable us to see beyond this. Go ahead and celebrate it anyway. It's not here. It's here. Our focus is on heaven, not earth. If only we have this faith to see beyond, and it really doesn't matter. And if you can't have this faith, then this is the promised land of the promised land. That is what it is. And this is so absolutely important for us to understand that what the Lord is trying to teach us through the life of Abram. And a lot of people miss it. They don't realize that the seed that he's talking about is actually a reference to Jesus. It's the blessing of the Lord, not Isaac, Jacob, and all the others. That's not the point. They miss the point. And I think sometimes we miss the point of our salvation too. So when we are saved, we often think, okay, now I have a life of blessing. No. You miss the point. Once we are born again, we see the kingdom of heaven. And once we see it, this earth is nothing. It doesn't matter. Sometimes we fail to understand this. It really doesn't matter. A lot of things we don't have. What we don't have, does it really matter? Actually, it doesn't. This is what matters. Ah, that one is very important. That one matters. I better be sure your passport all ready to go. Right? And it is absolutely important. It's a golden passport. It has your name there. Everyone's name is there. Citizen of heaven, the most valuable passport of all. And we are traveling there. Every year, we are nearer there. Why are you not happy that we are? Please put on the seatbelt. We're going home. We're going to be on the ground in 15 minutes. We should be happy. Oh, yeah, and really. No. Why do we look at our end of our life as something bad? It is something good. This is so absolutely important that we plan this. You know, in the early days, my grandfather and always, they always face, okay, first must buy the land for the big house. in a not big house as in a big house on earth. Is it? They call it the coffin. They call it the big house. You know, the coffin was called a big house. Tuas Hu. That's what it is. Then we must do hell. We must have a mound. We must be on top of the hill, you know, so that we can look down and as the sun is shining and under the shade, they're all prepared. When a Pharaoh becomes a Pharaoh, what is the first act on the first day of his being a Pharaoh, of the king? He will call his priests and say, look for a place to build my pyramid, my dwelling place. Not a palace, but for the afterlife. That is so absolutely important. Right? So we are looking for the afterlife, not here on this earth. This is really, so don't grumble, don't be upset about things on this earth. There's nothing to be upset about. This is where our plane of thought is, our heart, our mind, our spirit should be here. This is faith that takes us there. And once you understand that, actually none of this is matter. This also doesn't matter. This really doesn't matter. This is where I'm going there. My final destination is here, not anywhere. Doesn't matter. Go to Sabah, go to Malaysia, go to Australia, go to Chennai. Not important. See, sometimes we live on this plane so much, we think promised land is the land, not for Abraham. This is not the land. This is a promise by faith of a bigger, higher, better land. A land whose foundation made laid by God. That was his faith. Wow, that is amazing faith. That is outstanding faith, far better than any one of us can put together. And he kept him going. So do I need to? Nah, tent is enough. It's only temporary. That's it, tent, enough. Does it matter? Nah. Where I'm buried, doesn't matter. How many thousand must be? What for? I'm going to heaven. And that is my final destination. I hope you understand this idea of faith here. So it's very, very profound, very deep, but absolutely critically important. Not life on this earth. That is Abraham's kind of faith. To me, that is brilliant, outstanding, profound, wonderful. Think about this. Okay? Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the joy that we can have in knowing that we have a home in heaven. Help us to find that faith. A faith that will enable us to believe you, trust you, that you speak to our hearts to comfort, to confirm our faith in you, that we can live for you meaningfully. We pray that you would help us to live above this plane of life on earth, to live for eternal things, eternal treasure. We ask you to bless us with this offering that we give. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, thank you for being here.